Hi, my name's Gary King, and I've assembled the most formidable JFK team on planet Earth. We've got Dr. James Fetzer, Larry Rivera, who is the number one researcher in the world today when it comes to new research, and we've got Don Fox, who's not afraid to look a little bit deeper than anyone else. So if you're interested in what happened to the 35th President of the United States, then I invite you to our show. It's called The New JFK Show. And it's on YouTube. Go to Gary King YouTube channel, and we've got over 90 shows archived for you there. So if you really want to know the truth, and knowing that over 9 out of 10 researchers are working the other side of the street in a sea of disinformation, I pledge to you the truth about JFK. Go to Gary King YouTube channel and find out your true history.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Real Deal.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade.
It looks like one of those scenes of an old building being purposely dynamited and blown.
When we are successful,
I'm just a patsy.
And we will be.
You ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen up.
A new world order.
My name's Robbie Parker.
It might have appeared that way, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th.
President Kennedy died at 1 p.m.
Live from the Media Broadcasting Center.
Welcome to the new JFK show number 98. This is going to be a little different. It's the JFK slash Trump. Now, of course, JFK was the president of the United States, and Donald Trump is going on his path to the United States presidency. However, the path of getting there have changed quite a bit, and we're going to discuss that tonight. Now, just to be clear, this show is being taped on Friday before the Wisconsin primary. So, we'll just wanted everyone to be aware of that the show will play after the primaries, but we're recording it before then. So, all right, it appears to me that Donald Trump has had run into a few snags. He's not, I guess, circling up to the powers that be quite enough. Like 96% is not enough. Only 100% will do. So, Dr. Fetzer, let's go ahead and talk about the Trump campaign. And Don has some stuff, and I have some stuff as well.
Well, Gary, I want to begin with how he's doing here in Wisconsin. I reside near Madison. Let's look at the first slide, if it's up there now. Is it showing, Chance? Okay, we have Ted Cruz allegedly leapfrogging Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders leading Hillary Clinton in the latest Marquette poll. Now, according to the story, Cruz was receiving 40% of Republican votes, Trump 30, and Kasich trailing with 21. Now, there can be problems with these polls, and I've been very troubled with the Marquette Law School polls in the past because they were setting up for the theft of the election when Scott Walker ran against Mary Burke. I noticed it at the time, and I published about it with Richard Charnin, who's a completely brilliant student, statistician and student of election theft. He has several books about it. When I consulted with Charnin, he discovered that the not only had Scott Walker stolen his reelection, where Mary Burke should have won by the same margin, 53-47. It's as though they simply reversed it. And just to give you an inkling of why, right now Scott Walker's favorability rating is 49%, which is a high. How could he win with 53% when his favorability is at only 49? But more importantly, this was an historic turnout. Historic turnouts traditionally favor Democratic candidates. Hillary, Michelle Obama had been here twice, Barack Obama once, even the big dog Bill Clinton had been here. I had Richard on just Wednesday to talk about this. And here he's discussing other elections. This was for a Supreme Court position involving a woman named Clautenberg, who would be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. where he's explained how even that was stolen. There's a whole lot on his blog about this, where this is particularly striking regarding the reelection campaign against Burke, where Milwaukee County is the bastion of Democratic support. Now, Richard explained is that they have to steal votes if they're going to steal votes from the big counties, from the counties where there are lots of voters. But look at this. What it shows is that the more votes that were cast in Milwaukee County, the greater the percentage of the vote that went to Scott Walker. Now, that right on his face is prima facie proof of the election having been stolen, and he has a great deal more to add to it. Now, there's a lot of attempt here to favor Ted Cruz, but I think it's because he's a compromised candidate. We had this story in the National Enquirer about him having romps with five different women, including a hooker, a teacher, and co-workers. This has not got a fraction of the attention that it deserves. We now have further confirmation that his Senate office was a subscriber to the Ashley Madison adultery dating service, which is further confirmation. We have a report now from the attorney from the D.C. madam, Montgomery Blair Sibley, that there's information in the D.C. madam's black book that is of vital importance to the country in terms of its national security, and that he is requesting that the court allow him to release it, but that if the court won't, or if then he's going to release the identifying information anyway. And it seems to me he can't be talking about any of the other candidates. Certainly he's not talking about John Kasich, who's an Ohio governor. He's not talking about Ted Cruz, who's a New Yorker, though he spent time in Washington. He's not talking about Hillary Clinton, who has sex scandals of her own of a very different kind. He's not talking about Bernie Sanders, as we would all appreciate. He has to be talking about this guy, Ted Cruz. And here we had a reporter who asked Ted Cruz if he could, if he would deny that he had ever been unfaithful to his wife. But he refused to answer the question. Carly Fiorina got into it, tried to distract attention. But this reporter is observing why, if he's innocent, can't he simply say, yes, I have been faithful to my wife, which he's unable to do. Both of these articles, by the way, were published on the blog of Dr. Elwin, which is entitled Fellowship of the Minds. And I mention that because she's very thorough and meticulous. She contributed to both my Sandy Hook and to my Boston bombing book. And if an article appears on her site, Fellowship of the Minds, you can take it to the bank. And here we have, finally, the Washington Times has fired a columnist by the name of Drew Johnson, who had confirmed that at least two of the women that were named as Cruz mistresses by the National Enquirer are accurate. He also claims one of them is not, but that it is clear that two of them are, which, of course, is catastrophic for Cruz. I can't imagine anything that's going to be more detrimental to a man who claims to be a evangelical Christian and a paragon of morality than to be exposed here, especially when it's really gutting the core of his campaign. So I believe that, in fact, Cruz is seriously compromised, and therefore the establishment would far prefer him over Donald Trump, whom they cannot manage. And I'm convinced, therefore, that the preference for Cruz, as distasteful to them as it may be, is preferable to Trump because he would wrest control of the establishment from the GOP. Don, Gary, your thoughts about this?
Okay, yeah, if I could just jump in here for a minute. One thing we hear, and I've brought it up before, it's, well, why are you guys in 2016 still doing a JFK show? I mean, that was 50-some years ago, yada, yada. Well, let's just, we can see some historical parallels here between especially the career arc of, at this point of, say, Robert Kennedy and Donald Trump. Robert Kennedy was certainly a guy that the Jewish power structure in this country did not ever want to get anywhere near that Oval Office. And they took him out in June, before he could, he never even made it to the general election. And now here with Trump now, and this is the reason I was kind of pushing for the show, is we're starting to see some signs, bubbling below the surface that there's a lot of angst, about this Donald Trump, candidacy. I think the power structure, just cannot stand Donald Trump. And well, what's the main reason there? And I think the main reason that the Jewish elite hate Trump is because he wants to build the wall and control the immigration. I think the highest priority for the Jewish oligarchy in this country right now is to flood the country with non-white people and genocide the white population of the United States and Europe. And this is what's going on. Any sort of resistance to that agenda is going to draw the full angst and ire of the Jewish oligarchy.
Yeah, Don, don't you think that it's Trump has actually woken up a lot of people to that exact cause of white genocide?
Well, I think the people were awake. They just needed somebody to coalesce around it. I think that's what Trump is. Trump is not a perfect candidate, in any stretch of the imagination. He is not a savior in and of himself. But what he is he's a symbol of the white European people that actually built this country and are trying to keep it from falling apart. What is a country? Well, it's got borders. It prints its own currency. It's sovereign. And everything that, the Jewish oligarchy stands for is totally anathema against having a functioning country. And the first thing you have to have is a country is borders. And Trump actually says, hey, we should actually have borders in this country.
Yeah, I believe that a lot of the population were basically oblivious to what you just said. So just the idea that they've been awoken seems important to me. And one of the talking points is the angry white voter. So it seems like he's touching nerve somewhere.
Well, I think there are other issues he represents that are also threatening to the establishment. I may have them here, which is this, he's opposed to the NAFTA and the TPP, which represent the domination of corporations. If the TPP passes, then we're no longer going to have any national sovereignty. All 14 nations that are subsumed by the TPP are going to be under the control of a board of corporate lawyers who can override any law, any statute, even the Constitution of the United States. Their sovereignty no longer matters, which is what they want. So I think the fact that Hillary has supported NAFTA and the WTO, which were introduced by her husband Bill, but have had devastating effects on our economy, and that while she now claims she no longer supports it, in the past she described the TPP as the gold standard of trade agreements. As Secretary of State, she was the motivating force behind NATO's attack on Libya, which turned that once idyllic society to chaos. I mean, there's a lot going on here. I interviewed this couple, Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty, about what was going on in Libya. And I think the American people have still not awakened to the fact that Gaddafi was a benevolent dictator. He was sharing the wealth of Libya with the Libyan people. National health care, national public education. He was giving $45,000 grants to newly married couples. If somebody had a medical problem, couldn't be dealt with in Libya, he'd fly them anywhere in the world with a friend or a relative, all expense paid by the government. They had warehouses, national warehouses with food. If anyone needed food, they could go to the warehouse to obtain it. There was virtually no crime in Libya because no one had unsatisfied needs. In addition, he was introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would have converted Northern Africa into a veritable oasis and the gold dinar. And indeed, believe it or not, Hillary's emails, which are causing her so much trouble, reveal that NATO overthrew Gaddafi not to protect the people, as was claimed at the time, but to thwart Gaddafi's attempt to create a gold-backed African currency to compete with the Western banking monopoly.
And by Western banking monopoly, you mean the Jewish oligarchy.
Right, the Rothschild banking empire. So Hillary is an instrument of the Rothschild banking empire. The fact is that Robert Gates, who was then Secretary of State of Defense, didn't want to invade Libya. Barack Obama was not enthusiastic about it. Hillary was a driving force. And she would even parody a Caesar, you know, in the Gaulish Wars about I came, I saw, I conquered by saying we came, we saw, he died. It's really terrible. Here's an email sent to Hillary by an official advisor and longtime confidant, Sidney Blumenthal, which identifies French President Nicolas Sarkozy as leading the attack on Libya with five specific purposes in mind: to obtain Libyan oil, to ensure French influence in the region, to increase Sarkozy's reputation domestically, assert French military power, and to prevent Gaddafi's influence in what is considered to be Francophone Africa, meaning area dominated by France, and that Gaddafi had accumulated some 143 tons of gold and a comparable amount in silver so that he could actually justify this gold currency that would have become the unit of all of France. She has also facilitated her husband's sexual abuse of other women by going after them to protect him from the consequences of his actions. How many people know that Bill Clinton was thrown out of Oxford because he raped a fellow student? Experts have observed that her casual use of emails represent a far more serious violation of national security than the public appreciates, where the emails we were just talking about is an illustration. She has long stood with other neocons in the administration, appears to be far more hawkish than Trump, though not as bad as Ted Cruz, who, you know, talks about going to war. I had a real deal episode with Roger Stone on the Clintons' war on women, and her record is truly appallingly bad. So I think in a general election, she has multiple major vulnerabilities. Roger Stone has been in this business a long time. He knows where the bodies are buried. In addition, and this is about her emails, the inspector general has reported that the Clinton emails had intel from the most secretive classified programs. This is very, very serious stuff. And here's a report about it from the State Department that it's withholding in total some 22 Clinton emails and 7 email strings because they were classified top secret. The documents were not merely redacted, that is, blacked out. They were completely withheld. One source, not authorized to speak on the record, suggested the intelligence agencies are operating on the assumption there are more copies of the Clinton emails out there, and that even releasing a partial email would provide enough clues to trace back to the original, which could allow the identification of special access programs intelligence. This is very, very serious stuff. And if it's held, you know, if it's done properly, if she's actually held to account to the law, she will be indicted. Here's an additional angle. A former Miss Arkansas, a former lover of Bill Clinton, explained how they would have these rendezvous where he'd dress up in her frilly black nightie and prance around the bedroom, pausing for brief moments to take out his makeup compact case filled with cocaine. This is really stunning stuff. He and Hillary had a great deal going on in Mena, Arkansas, that's going to be revealed if Trump goes up against Hillary. And the fact is that his being out there on the campaign trail makes him a fair target. So those who are looking beneath the blizzard of attack on Donald Trump know the reality is actually very different than the illusion. He is opposed to NAFTA and the TPP. With a former gutted our manufacturing and industrial base, the latter would finish off. He has condemned the invasion of Iraq and wars in the Middle East, which have cost us $4 to $5 trillion and produced only chaos. He has proposed measures to bring immigration under control, including a temporary ban on Muslims and a better fence with Mexico. And Don, would you believe they had a fence in Hungary and it worked dramatically? They had a fence that put up on October 17th. And dropped from 6,353 immigrants into Hungary the day before to 870. illegal border crossings have steadily been below 40 per day since the fence went off. So a fence can work.
I thought Angela Merkel said the fences don't work, though.
Yeah, well, Angela Merkel says a lot of things that just ain't so, doesn't she?
Yes.
She has become so despised by Germans, Don, that they actually have enormous contempt for her.
As well they should. As well they should.
Here are some additional points about Trump. He's galvanizing interest across the board, drawing independents and blue-collar Democrats to the GOP for the first time since Reagan. He is a nationalist and a populist who wants to improve the lives of working men and women and qualifies as a non-interventionist. The establishment on both sides is alarmed because Trump is not under their control. He is self-financing and beholden to none. The reason why Trump and Sanders are making such an impact with voters is that they are both opposed to NAFTA and the TPP and to endless wars in the Middle East. Those are already sufficient reasons to vote for one or the other, where Hillary is for NAFTA and wants to describe the TPP as the gold standard in trade. Trump has been condemned for proposing a temporary ban on Muslim immigration until we can figure out what's going on, but Paris and Brussels made him look good. Cruz would maintain surveillance on Muslim communities already here in the USA, a completely unwarranted proposal that deserves public condemnation. And as Don, I'm sure you know, Trump and Sanders both are absolutely committed to the Second Amendment. Hillary is out there seeking to undermine it. But Trump and Sanders stand four square with the Second Amendment. Surveillance induces paranoia, where Trump would end the surveillance society that's encompassed us since Bush and Cheney introduced total information awareness, which was already in February of 2001. It is a complete scam, which has been enhanced by Obama and which Hillary would continue to extend. It's a manifestation of creeping American fascism. As I've observed, the TPP would create a board of international lawyers who could override the laws and statutes of any of the 14 nations covered, which includes our own constitution. As Mussolini explained, fascism is the merge of big government with big business. It's corporations ruling the world. So a fascist is running for president, but the name isn't Trump. And they've done a lot of stupid things by demonizing him, which is intended to distract the attention of the public from the major changes he would bring about. A financial expert, and I was stunned when he said this on Fox Business News, reported that the transformation Trump represents would be on the order of the New Deal brought to America by FDR. It would be historic and profound. And as you observed before, Don, there are no flawless candidates in this race for president of the United States. Far too many liberals and progressives, however, regard Hillary as unblemished and Trump as a fascist who would introduce an American Fourth Reich. Those are illusions, not reality. We need to know our candidates' strengths as well as their weaknesses. And the outrage continues. There are T-shirts going out now to assassinate Trump. Mark Zuckerberg, who runs Facebook, put up a website encouraging the assassination of Donald Trump. These people should be hunted down by the Secret Service and prosecuted. This is completely outrageous. Roger Stone has said more about the sex issue, which isn't going away. But here you had a woman who actually runs the Twitter account for Bernie Sanders appearing in a Trump T-shirt and giving a Hitler T-shirt to try to make it look as though he were, in fact, a bad guy when he's not. I know there's more, and we want to talk about what would happen at a contested convention where Gary has personal, up-close and personal experience. But before we go there, Don, Gary, what do you have to say about this summary of the qualifications of the candidates?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And I think the key takeaway here is, with Trump now, we're starting to see organized violent protests at his rallies. It isn't just hippies showing up and, yelling KKK or fascist, whatever, Hitler. This is organized people that are bussed in and they're under professional direction and they're causing a lot of trouble at these Trump rallies. They're starting to get violent.
We got a report, I meant to include it here, of reports that they're being paid $15 an hour to go to Trump rallies and disrupt them.
Yes, yes, this is professional agitation. So this is funded, probably Soros, Move On funded agitprop.
George Soros is a principal supporter of MoveOn.org.
Yes, and one thing I saw this week that really was creepy was the Donald Trump tombstone in Central Park.
Yes.
You know, that isn't some hippies putting – that was a pretty expensive tombstone. You know, that wasn't some hippies that carved that thing up.
I know, and it's outrageous.
Just how real do you think the possibility of assassination is? Or did they just do assassinate your character these days?
Oh, no, no. In this case, I think that he's under a real risk of actually being assassinated, which is another reason why Don's comparison with Bobby and Jack is actually appropriate here. They represented a threat to the establishment, too. And the Donald is a different kind of threat. It's in a new incarnation, but it's real. And that's why the attacks on him are so furious. And why the media, I mean, they've thrown everything at him, including the kitchen sink. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. Every media, every day, attack, attack, attack. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's not just in the media. I have children who I teach music to telling me how terrible Donald Trump is. We're talking 11-year-olds now. And so their teachers telling them how Hillary Clinton would be the greatest thing that we could have, our first woman president. It's not just on the news. It's inside the schools, in the elementaries and the junior highs and all the way to high school.
Hillary is profoundly corrupt, but she comes from the establishment. I mean, how many Bush Clinton administrations do we have to have? I think Barack Obama simply turns out to be an extension of third term for George W. Bush. Don.
Yeah, you could say it's either the third term of Bush or the third term of Clinton. You know what? It's almost the same thing. They're run by the same people. It's just a different face out in front of it. I think Trump is, you know, would I say it's 100% sure that they would take him out? You know, I don't think so. I would say right now, my thing on a scale of 1 to 10, I think his threat level is like a 5 or a 6, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye on. You know, if you're going to study historical political assassinations, well, I think you should offer up some commentary on what's going on today. And maybe people that see this show, maybe take a look back at what happened with the Kennedys.
And if he were to secure the nomination, it would go to a 7 or an 8. And if he were to be running a successful campaign against Hillary, because she can be pilloried on so many different grounds, I think it would go to a 9 or a 10, Don. That's my take.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'm right on board with you there. I was going to say if he comes out of Cleveland with that Republican nomination, then I think it's game on at that point.
But there's ways to deal with them, just like Richard Nixon. They didn't have to assassinate him. They assassinated his character and he walked out on his own.
But Gary, they've been trying to do that with Trump. That's what's going on here again and again. Relentless. It's the most unrelenting, unqualified I've ever seen in my life. It's ridiculous. And you have a lot of very, very biased commentator like Lawrence O'Donnell. He's just disgusting. And even Rachel Maddow, whom the world seems to adore, is a nitwit about many of these issues. She's just terrible. Megyn Kelly actually is much better than them. I think you get a lot more balance from Sean Hannity, believe it or not, than you get from MSNBC. It's amazing to me.
That's pretty bad there, Jim.
The other thing that gets lost in the shuffle is Ted Cruz is not even constitutionally eligible to run for president. Now, that didn't stop Obama either, but, you know, Cruz is a Cuban that was born in Canada. You know, there's a no way, shape, or form that he should be even this far into the process. He should have never even been in a primary. In fact, there's lawsuits going on that, you know, he shouldn't have even been on the ballot.
All this about his sexual predilections is going to come out. I mean, they can fire a journalist who confirms two of the mistresses But that's not going to keep it out of the press. Eventually, it's going to break through. And I just say, thank God we have publications like the National Enquirer who are carrying more of the burden of bringing the truth to the American people than all the other newspapers combined, from the New York Times to the Washington Post, you name it. They're failing. They're failing the people.
Right. Well, here's what I've come to find out is that the powers that be cannot stop a landslide. And that's why they're really hitting hard so much with Trump right now, because they've got to get it closer, because they can control the election to a certain extent, but they cannot stop a landslide. So they've got to beat him down until it's manageable to be able to steal enough of the votes. But also, if he doesn't get enough votes by Tampa, then they don't have to choose him at all.
Listen, Gary, I've lived here in Wisconsin for 10 years. They are going to steal this for Ted Cruz from Donald Trump. Mark my words, this Marquette poll, which I regard as highly inaccurate, is going to be used to do the psychological impression that lays the foundation for the actual theft. That's exactly what they did with Scott Walker in relation to Mary Burke. They had a completely fabricated poll come out from Marquette in advance of the election, so you were supposed to accept it because that's what the poll had projected, except that the poll was fabricated and the projection was a false projection to set it up for theft using electronic voting machines. Anyone who has any doubts about this really ought to go back and watch my interview with Richard Chardon from just Wednesday past.
Yeah, Larry Rivera has joined us a few minutes ago. Do you have some to contribute there, Larry?
I've been listening to you people. Very, very interesting arguments here being thrown out here. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. When you talked about fascism, fascism has been here since November 22nd, 1963.
Yes.
Okay, that's when fascism reared its ugly head in its true form, which we know today with the military-industrial complex, you know, and the corporations in bed together. And regarding the Clintons, very interesting, everything that you have mentioned. I also wanted to throw out there that TWA 800 was brought to us courtesy of the Clintons. Okay, all of that cover-up and all of that situation.
Tell us more about that, Larry. I knew it was shot down by a Navy missile from, you know, the Sound between New York City and Long Island. What's going on there?
That's right. You know, that this happened right before the Olympics in 1996. In fact, I remember at that time I was getting ready to go to the Olympics in Atlanta. And when that happened, you know how everything just locked down as far as the airports and everything, and security and everything. But that plane was on its way to Paris. And there was a very interesting documentary that's being shown right now on NPIX. Which is a very, very thorough, gives a very, very thorough treatment of the entire TWA 800, which so many different witnesses from different angles saw two missiles go straight up into the sky, originating from the water. Okay, and then we all know that later on the CIA came out with this really ridiculous video animation showing that as a result of a fuel tank in the middle of the airplane, which split the exploded because of some kind of short in the electrical system, split the plane where the nose went one way and the rest of the plane went going upwards, okay, a totally ridiculous situation which every pilot has rejected completely, and everybody who knows anything about aeronautics and avionics, so many, like I said, so many witnesses, including a couple of National Guardsmen who were sitting in a helicopter who saw the whole thing and then saw all the debris raining next to them. But later on, you know, as the entire scene was completely taken control of by the FBI and everything, and you know, Janet Reno and everybody responded to the Clintons, you know, and they allowed this whole situation to be played out the way it did. And, you know, I just think that's, something that,
Well, Larry, was it an accident that the plane was shot down during this Navy drill? Apparently the missiles were fired from a submarine. And I know that the commanding officers went to all the officers and men and instructed them they should never talk about what had happened this day. But was there a deliberate reason for shooting down the plane?
Well, I don't think that that information has ever come out, Jim. I think that's been held very close to the vest. Whoever was really responsible about this, you know, it's really been hush-hush, you know. But regardless, you know, this was on the Clintons' watch, okay? And they could have influenced a much thorough investigation. But obviously, don't forget that that was right in the middle of the campaign of 1996, and they didn't want anything, you know, of this nature, you know, that would affect the outcome of 1996 for Clinton's reelection. Okay, so I think that was a very important consideration there. Back if you look at the 1996.
Yeah, I would just add real quick, just as a reminder to everybody, I am not a coincidence theorist. Okay.
I agree.
I'm on a conspiracy theory show. You're getting conspiracy theory here, not coincidence theory. And what Larry was talking about, I remember seeing the picture. They reassembled that plane in a hangar somewhere.
That's right.
And there was a little hole right where the missile went in. And then there was just article after article saying, oh, no, it wasn't a missile that shot it down. Yada, yada, yada. There's this little hole. Right.
And what you're saying is your commitment to truth is so great that you will not tolerate coincidence theories when there are far more reasonable and better established conspiracy theories that will account for all the data.
Well, there was a couple who actually went to jail because they went and cut a little piece of the material from one of the seats and went and had it analyzed, you know, and that sort of was no-no, and it tested positive for explosive, yeah. Which would have come from a missile. Yeah.
Do not tamper with our tampered evidence.
Now it looks as though they're trying to set up a contested election where they're going to be able to manipulate the outcome. As I reported earlier, Tom Hartman reported today that the Republicans want to run a ticket with Paul Ryan as president and Marco Rubio as vice president as their nominees. And they're going to do everything they can to make that be the outcome, regardless of the preference of the voters. And we have here a short video clip that Gary turned up that has to do with the way in which these conventions can be manipulated, where he lived through it himself up close and personal. So, Chance, could you play that video clip for us? Oh, there were actually three. There was one. Well, Gary said he sent it to you. I guess he came by email.
Yeah, the one that's on the screen is fine.
Yeah, but that's not on his screen. See, that's I made a slide about it to indicate when we should show it. Okay, well, Chance, go ahead and play what you got. So let us hear. Is that the one with David Duke? I think this is the one that Don sent, actually. Yeah, you can run it to 4 minutes.
Thank you. I want to ask you about the Anti-Defamation League, which this week called on you to publicly condemn unequivocally the racism of former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke.
Your position on race and the controversy over your failure to denounce David Duke on... But I'd like to go deeper than that. What are your views on the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists?
In contemplating Donald Trump's visit to AIPAC, as a historian, I can't help but recall a famous quote of President Harry S. Truman when he was faced with enormous Zionist pressure on Israel. His vice president, Henry Wallace, recorded his words, quote, "Jesus Christ couldn't please them when he was here on earth, so how could anyone expect that I'd have any luck?" Mr. Trump, I hope you heed the words of President Truman. Your appearance before AIPAC does you no good. No matter what, you can't please them. Even Jesus couldn't please the Jewish establishment, and Lord knows you're no Jesus. They hate you, and they'll always be your enemy. The American Israel Public Affairs Committee is a lobby for a foreign nation, and the fact is that it's the one lobby that no one in Congress dares to oppose, and that shows its obscene power. It is one of the lobbying arms of the Jewish establishment in America. The Jewish tribal Zionist banking and political establishment hates you. The Jewish-dominated media establishment despises you.
Okay, here we are back online. Now, there we have David Duke, who was talking about all the improper techniques that were being used to demonize Donald Trump. And, of course, we've talked about quite a few of them ourselves. It's really outrageous what they're doing here. But, Gary, I want you to fill us in. Tell us about your own experience, because you ran for office and you saw these things happening at a convention up close and personal.
Right. Well, hopefully we can play the video. But what happened is I was a Ron Paul delegate. I made it to the state convention and also made it as a national delegate. Now, what the video is about, and I guess I'll give a little background on being a delegate and how it was changed. So what happens to be a delegate, first thing you have to do, you have to pay $200 to the Republican Party, which gets you on the ballot. That's one thing. The next thing you have to do, you actually have to win. All right. So I campaigned hard enough and I won. So I became a delegate to the state convention in Freeport, Louisiana. Okay. So what happened is that the Ron Paul campaigns, which were Republicans, were so organized that we actually got a 3/4 majority. Now, if you know anything about Robert's Rules of Order, it only takes a 2/3 majority to take someone like the chairman or the Rules Committee chairman. You can remove them by procedure through Robert's Rules of Order. All right, so what's happening here is that Ron Paul people actually took over the Republican convention with a 3/4 majority. And so what it is, the Republicans have low-hanging fruit, and every so often people come and play by their rules and actually succeed. So what happened in the video is that there's new rules to be adopted, and there's a teleprompter rolling, and the new rules state that the presidential nominee of the party will select his own delegates, therefore taking the delegate process away from the citizens. And this is what happened here. The only problem is that the entire Republican convention is teleprompted. Not one word is said that isn't on the teleprompter. So when the Speaker of the House, Boehner, came in and said, we're going to have a vote on this new rule change, and what the rule change was taking away the delegate process from the citizens. He said, all those in favor say aye. And you hear, you know, a sizable amount of people say aye. All opposed say nay. Now, the problem was the teleprompter was running too fast. And it already says that the yeas have it, or the ayes have it. Therefore, there was no vote. There was no discussion whatsoever. And if we can get a chance to play the video, I'll send it to him in the
Let's see. Chance, is there a chance you have the video and can play it? Okay, it's uploading right now, Gary.
Well, let me tell you about more words. It's not a video. We might be able to play it another time.
No, wait a minute. No, he's got it uploading.
Okay.
Chance, all right. Is it ready?
Okay. All right. As long as Chance is uploading the video,
right?
I just wanted to say one service Donald Trump has provided is he has destroyed the Republican Party, and it was a sick, diseased, rotten, corrupt party that needed to be destroyed. And Trump has done a great job of that. So even if he does nothing else, if he gets screwed out of the nomination and he has to go back to reality TV or whatever, he's already provided a wonderful public service, because now we really know who is on our side and who isn't.
Yeah.
Without discussing, the Republican Party can be and will be. See, they're about to destroy themselves over this. There's just too many people that are responding to what he's saying.
All the Neil Cohens in the Republican Party are now like rats leaving a ship. You know, before we always thought, hey, we're going to have to start a third party because these first two are too corrupt. We can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we've managed to run them out of their party. And one thing I've noted is that for a long time, the Republican Party was always had this perception of being a pro-white party. Now, when you actually have a pro-white candidate, we see what happens. You know, that facade, that veneer has been completely stripped from the GOP. You know, the core.
And yet I see a lot of blacks and Latinos who are supporting Trump. I think that the Border Patrol, in fact, their union just endorsed Trump. They think the idea of a fence with Mexico is a good thing.
Yeah, I think the powers that be did not expect a phenomenon. See, they can't control a phenomenon, and Trump's become one. And they just can't seem to – you can't predict, you can't plan, and you can't stop someone who turns into a phenomenon. And that's what I believe was happening. And they've got to get their hands on it, but I don't believe they can.
All right.
I think it might be on autopilot, guys, you know, where Trump is just, you know, there's nothing that the Republican Party and the conservatives and the Republican Party can do anything about it at this point. Unless, you know, like we've been discussing, something unfortunate that could happen to Trump.
Well, they're going to steal the election here in Wisconsin, Larry. I have no doubt about it. I've been living here for 10 years. I've seen them steal several elections already. I had Richard Chardon, who's an expert on this, on my show on Wednesday. He was confirming what's going on. Trump is going to lose here. We're not going to get an accurate report. They're going to put Cruz, you know, out front by maybe 10 points. They're already telegraphing it with these phony polls coming from Marquette.
Yeah, but I firmly believe that you can't stop a landslide. I firmly believe that they can manipulate the election to a large extent, but not a landslide.
Well, what's the amount of delegates he needs? 1,270-something?
37.
Yeah. Huh?
1,237.
Right. So he's how far?
He's over halfway there.
Right, he's more than halfway there. I know. Well,
it's a delegate game. You see, just by keeping the delegates down just enough for him not to get secure the nomination.
Right, so they can do a brokered convention. I know, yeah.
Right.
Chance, we got the video? Chance, have we got the video?
Nope, not yet.
Not yet. No, it's still uploading. Another point that's come up is Trump's speech at AIPAC.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Some people were saying, hey, he shouldn't even go there. That's not going to be good for him. And then there was talk of a bunch of rabbis getting up and walking out. None of that happened. Trump went there, and Trump read off the teleprompter, and it was a bunch of pro-Israel stuff that made a lot of us sick to our stomach. But
yes,
Andrew England over at the Daily Stormer was talking about how he wasn't really sucking up to the Jews there. It was more of the misguided evangelical voters here in the United States that he was kind of pandering to.
Man, nobody is more pro-Israel than Ted Cruz. It's completely disgusting. So
Hillary has declared her undying allegiance to Israel, too. So the two of them are really just simply god-awful on this issue.
I just wanted to make a quick comment because I read on one of the websites where Trump had been asked what his position was on the JFK assassination, and he very quickly said, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald did it, you know, and that's it. You know, it seems to me that his answer was sort of like might have been rehearsed, you know, that he might have. Yeah, he might have, you know,
deeper feelings. He knew what he could say for the purpose of the campaign.
Exactly, exactly.
I want to believe so much that we have a say in this. I really want to believe that we have a say, but half of me believes it's just a script, and here Hillary's getting in no matter what. I mean, I really want to believe that we have a say.
Don.
Yeah, it's a nice notion, Gary, but I I think that
was it Mark Twain who observed that if voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it?
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, people say, well, voting is meaningless. It's useless. I'm like, well, then why do they, you know, why do the Sheldon Adelsons and all the other powerful Jews of the world, why do they spend so much money to buy the election? Because, you know, something good could come out of it at some point.
Listen, I'd like each of us to take about 2 minutes to sum up where we think the election is going. Let's start with you, Gary. You go ahead, Gary.
I believe that there is, that they put Trump up there and things have gotten out of control. I believe he's become a national phenomenon. He's saying the right things. He's bringing a lot of things to the table that just weren't there. And white issues were pretty much one of them. Then there's the other half of me that all my research leads me to that it's just a script, and all of this is no different than Sandy Hook and the Boston Marathon. And when they have the anniversary coming up, it's going to be a big play. And I really hope it's really not that far gone, but I have to wonder.
Larry.
I believe that if Trump gets the nomination, it's like he said, he hasn't even begun to start working on the Clintons. You know, when the gloves come off, it's not going to be pretty.
Okay? No. It's going to be a massacre. There's so much evidence against the Clinton the public has never, ever even heard. I mean, it's overwhelming. It's going to be like an artillery, full fire for effect. Wipe them out.
Yeah, and if you think he's brash now, just wait until he gets the nomination. Then that's when everything's going to really start getting going.
And we even got Bill dancing around in a black nightie and snorting cocaine out of a compact. I mean, give me a break. Don, unload.
Okay, so Trump, another comment he made, you know, a couple of points here. Okay, he got up in front of a Jewish gathering, you know, a month or so ago, and he told them, hey, I don't want your money. And he's like, because I'm not going to take your money, you probably won't vote for me. Okay, what other presidential candidate have you ever heard say that?
Yes.
You know, that is off the table. That right there, that does never get brought up. Nobody ever talks about that. And then another comment that I found was found interesting. He said, hey, if you elect me, you're going to find out who knocked down the Twin Towers.
Really?
You will find out. Oh, yeah. Really? You mean they didn't tell us they didn't tell us the truth the first time around, Donald?
Well, you mean they didn't collapse?
Yeah. You mean jet A fuel didn't bring them down?
Kerosene?
Yeah.
It caused steel to melt? Are you telling me that?
Yeah, so apparently there's a big untold truth there in the destruction of the World Trade Center that might see the light of day, and they can't have that. Okay, they can't have Lee Oswald in the doorway. They can't have nuclear bombs going off in the Trade Center. They can't have the emails from Hillary Clinton out there in public display. None of this stuff can happen. They can't have any of this. So this is why they're freaking out about Trump. Because he is just such a bull in the china shop, some of the dirt is going to get dug up. Now, how much dirt digging would he do? Would there be a real 9/11 investigation? You know, I don't know, but just the threat of one is enough to scare them shitless, as it were.
By the way, do any of you have an opinion about who might be a good running mate for Donald Trump were he to succeed in getting the nomination before he gets knocked off?
Jesse Ventura. No.
Gary?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, Gary, I was going to suggest Jesse myself. Larry?
I can't see him picking Cruz or Rubio or any of those guys.
No. For certain.
You know who I would like to see would be Jeff Sessions out of Alabama.
And Kasich has already said he wouldn't even take it, so, you know.
Well, would Rand Paul be a possibility?
They're not letting Rand Paul in. Forget that. There's no way they're letting Rand Paul in.
You know, Gary,
if they're not going to let Trump in, but if Trump gets the nomination is able to pick, would Rand Paul not be a reasonable choice?
They'd kill them both that day. They'd just it'd be over. Like, he's not in with the Israelis very much at all.
Oh, no.
He's tried to dance with them, but he's not dancing hard enough.
How about Bloomberg?
No.
Oh.
No, there's no way.
Gun control fanatic. Bloomberg has got a bigger ego than Trump.
Yeah.
Bloomberg is paternalist. He wants to constrain how large a big Slurpee you can drink. He'd be a He'd be a tyrant.
And he's about as pro-Israeli as you can be. If he's not a dual citizen,
you can't have a Jewish vice president. Because
without running the risk that the president will be knocked off to make.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, let's try to ready to play the video.
Well, do we have a chance?
Yeah, we do have the video. And what I want everyone to see here is as the teleprompter is rolling by, they're changing. They're taking the selection of delegates away from the election process where you go to the polls and you vote and those people represent you on the state level and then you select delegates to represent at the national level.
Chance, go ahead and let it roll.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye!
All those opposed, no.
Hi, my name's Gary King, and I've assembled the most formidable JFK team on planet Earth. We've got Dr. James Fetzer, Larry Rivera, who is the number one researcher in the world today when it comes to new research, and we've got Don Fox, who's not afraid to look a little bit deeper than anyone else. So if you're interested in what happened to the 35th President of the United States, then I invite you to our show. It's called The New JFK Show. And it's on YouTube. Go to Gary King YouTube channel, and we've got over 90 shows archived for you there. So if you really want to know the truth, and knowing that over 9 out of 10 researchers are working the other side of the street in a sea of disinformation, I pledge to you the truth about JFK. Go to Gary King YouTube channel and find out your true history.